Hello, happy people. Welcome to the Profitable Happiness Podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Pillay with the Profitable Happiness Podcast. And today I have my very good friend and story expert, Tom Ruich, here to share all kinds of cool stories with us and tell us really how we can connect the dots between our businesses and the needs of our customers through story. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I am happy, Dr. I am happy to be sitting out on the front porch, my cabin at a country place I have a couple hours from my home in St. Louis. I'm happy to be toward the tail end of what's been a great week of business. And most importantly, I'm happy to be sitting here with you on your awesome podcast. I've been looking forward to this moment for a long time, since the day we scheduled this.
Oh, Tom, I really appreciate that. I'm just so appreciative to have come into your world. And, you know, we have so much in common because we both believe in the power of story. In fact, your marketing tagline is story power marketing, which is amazing. I love that. We're also both students of storytelling, and it's very curious, even its scientific form. But let's start with the problem that you solve in the world. You know, so if anybody listening to this, they want to understand exactly what challenges they deal with that we're going to talk about today. How would you describe the problem you solve?
I think the problem is that the world is full of people who are great at what they do, providing a gift, a product, a service, and yet they feel uncomfortable talking about what they do. They feel uncomfortable telling the story of what they do. Marketing feels like a maze. Marketing feels challenging. When it comes time to write that email or even to work on the copy for their website or a post for social media, they sit in front of a blank screen with writer's block. If they know that stories are helpful in theory, they sit there thinking, okay, once upon a time, now what? And so the problem is, how do you connect with prospects in a way that will captivate them and inspire them to act so that you can grow your business? And even those people who really are great at delivering a valuable product and service don't feel so great and so comfortable at talking about it and telling the stories that will captivate prospects.
You know, first of all, thank you for that almost dissertation in the problem of business versus narrative and storytelling. I just love that. So many people take this for granted, though, don't they? I mean, we all think, well, hey, I know how to say once upon a time. I mean, come on, we told stories since we were babies. How come storytelling is this powerful thing all of a sudden? Help us to understand the power of storytelling. We're going to talk about story power marketing, so you might as well start here.
Well, if there's a secondary problem, it is that, so many business people think that, oh, I know how to talk about my business, and what they talk about are features, and they may even talk about benefits, but what they don't talk about is the journey that their prospects want to take, and they don't connect with their prospects in a way that's relevant and inspiring to the prospects. And what storytelling is all about is doing just that, connecting with prospects in a way that evokes the journey they want to take. And when you do that, when you tell a powerful story, people lean in, people pay attention. There's a ton of science to support the idea that people remember stories, people like and trust you more when you tell them stories, and people are more inspired to act when you tell them stories. The science proves it. We know it instinctively. But when we try to deliver those stories, it gets difficult.
Yeah. No, and would you be willing to stay in the frame of mind of the possible people we're talking to right now? And let's talk a little bit more about why it's difficult. I mean, I know you've described that it is difficult, but I know that when I take a piece of paper, you know, some people call it writer's block or whatever, it's so difficult for me to think about or put myself in the mind frame of my ideal customer, that my reader. I'm always thinking about my problem and the thing yeah. I want to talk about, right? And it's taking yeah. a lot of work to make that switch. How do people get out of that? I mean, is that kind of the thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to quote one of my favorite mentors, not the right word, because I never met the guy, but there's a guy named Eugene Schwartz, who was the greatest direct response copywriter of the 20th century, most prolific guy out there. And mm-hmm. and Eugene Schwartz claims that he never suffered from writer's block, ever.
Ooh, wow.
And the reason he never suffered from writer's block is that he claims, or he had a system, and his system, what he describes, is that we don't write, we assemble. Mm. And what he meant by that is that if you do the work in advance of putting together and gathering the pieces that you need, then the act of creating the story, writing the copy, building the content is an act of assembling, which is so much more easy, so much more clear than trying to conjure some creative magic from a blank screen. When you describe, I sit in front of the blank screen, that's what you're trying to do. Where, come on, muse, come to me, give me the magic. And
yeah.
and it doesn't have to be that way. You can just do it as an act of assembly. And when you treat it that way, it's learnable. It's a lot of it's delegatable, especially mm-hmm. the gathering part. And it's scalable and repeatable. And that's the real key to how you get past the writer's block and the creative challenge.
Wow. So first of all, Tom, if you don't mind, I'd like to give you kudos, because what you just did here is an example of the power of storytelling. Yeah. Instead of answering me with a bullet points of here's what you do, here's what you do, you told me a story. You took us back to this example of this gentleman, and what that story revealed was all of a sudden I went, yeah, tell me more.
Yeah.
you know, so you caught my attention with story right here. So there you go. Tell us how you became Tom Ruwitz, this master storyteller.
Yeah, well, I've been an entrepreneur for a long, long time. And I'll take you back as far as 2001, when I founded an email marketing company, email marketing software company, same kind of thing as Constant Contact, MailChimp. My company was called Market Vault. In fact, we started our company right around the same time as Constant Contact, before MailChimp. I was in this game for a long, long time. And when I started as an entrepreneur, even before Market Vault, I made all the same mistakes that all these people make that I work with. I believed that the key to sales was hustle. Knock on every door, on every floor, cold call until my throat was raw. I literally still have a pair of old shoes with holes in the soles that I keep as a reminder of those days when I thought hustle and more hustle was the way to sell. And
receive as many no's as possible.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but scatter a few yeses in there, and if you
take
enough blows, and you know, if you fight hard enough, you'll get your sales. And it wasn't fun. I wasn't happy. It was a slog. And over time, I came to discover better ways to do it. And you know, there was one example where my vice president of sales at the software company, at the email marketing software company, came back one day from the office telling me a story of how a prospect that he had been meeting with literally jumped into his arms and gave him a bear hug, tears in her eyes, when he explained a certain feature. And what she was so happy about was that the feature he had described to her was going to transform her life from her work, from difficult to easy, from time consuming to efficient, from dreadful, she hated it, to looking forward to it. And I began to tell that story to my prospects, the story of a simple journey from I dread this to I like this, from I hate this to I love this, from hard to easy. And when I would tell the story of that prospect's journey, my prospects would lean in and say, yeah, you know, I hate doing this right now. You have an easier way? I want to hear about it. How do you do it? And that's the power of story. When you evoke that prospect's journey from one place to another, from problem to solution, prospects lean in and they say, how do you do it? And now they're inviting you to talk about your products and services. Now the whole dynamic has changed from you're a sales rep and an unwanted pest, yeah, to you're an invited guest. You're now talking to somebody who wants to hear about your products and service. And the story is what has done that. So my journey was moving from hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle to tell stories. And as I began to do it in my own business, I began to study how other businesses do it. And that's when my business evolved into helping my clients tell their own stories.
Woo. Again, yeah, another seminal sort of training program right there in, yeah, in how to get this stuff done. I can tell you, when I look at your LinkedIn background, where you've got this sort of comic strip story power marketing, it's like, yeah, okay, who's going to fly in here? Superman? And then it's Tom Ruich. Let's go a little bit deeper into your methodologies. So we know the problem. We have a sense of what's wrong. Give us, right, a sense of whom you serve specifically today, yeah, and how you serve them. Do you have like a two-step process, a 12-step process to help people sort of...
God help me if I have a 12-step process, right?
Do you have a process to actually bring change and success to your client base?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying one of my core principles is simplicity. So three steps. 5 steps at most. That's part of it. So who do I serve? That was the first question. Coaches, consultants, thought leaders, business leaders who are trying, as I described before, to connect with prospects and captivate them, deliver great services, but have that hard time figuring out how to draw people in. So coaches, consultants, thought leaders, business leaders. And how do I serve them? First, what we do is help them discover the story. And when I talk about story discovery, I'm not talking about your story, you, the prospect. So many people, when they think about storytelling, think, well, I don't have an interesting story. I don't have something to say. Number one, that's usually false. You do have an interesting story. We all have an interesting story. But forget about that for the moment. The story you're going for is your prospect's story. What's keeping them up at night? What's frustrating them? What are they aspiring to? What do they dream of? What do they crave? What do they covet? And boil it down in simple ways. We don't need to do some 7-step, 7-stage story arc thing. Let's just think about before and after and simplify that journey. And so the before are all those problems and fears and frustrations. The after are all those aspirations. And we have a process by which we dig all of that stuff up. Part of it's pulling from your own brain. What do you know about your prospect? But then we teach you how to go out beyond what's in your own brain and collect those building blocks that you use to assemble. The product of that first step is what we call the story overview. And the story overview outlines all of those elements. Why are prospects buying? How do you deliver on the promise? What is the bridge that you build to get them from before to after? What makes you different? What kind of proof can you provide, testimonials or otherwise? And then what do you do to mitigate the risk? That's the story overview. And that's the first stage of what we build.
Tom, I want to jump in on that because you've hit on something that I think is particularly difficult for coaches, consultants, thought leaders, the exact people you solve. And I know this because I have intimate knowledge of the problem myself. I want to see if we could maybe double down on one piece of that.
Yeah.
Coaches and consultants and thought leaders, they believe they have something to offer the world that is unique.
Yeah.
They're eager to tell the world what that thing is, right? And they believe that their story, their own story, is evidence of how they've solved that problem in the world. So it's even though you're right, it's hard for them to make that switch, isn't it?
It is hard for them to make that switch. And here's the irony of it. In their work, you know, whether you're a coach and a consultant where you're working with clients and solving problems for clients, or just a business leader who is solving problems for your employees and your customers, you're good at putting yourself in your customers and clients' world as you deliver your service. And it's all about empathy. It's about understanding what they need and so forth. But yet when you step back and want to talk about it from a selling and prospecting perspective, it's hard. People want to talk. People like to talk about me.
Yeah. You
know, here's me. Here's what I do. And I think they get paralyzed in the storytelling stuff because they're not confident that me is, even though they like to talk about me, they're not confident that talking about me is going to interest anybody. And that's why I say, forget about that. It's hard to forget about it. Dive in to your prospect's world. And this is what I was talking about before, that it's not just a matter of sitting there and thinking, all right, what's up with my prospects? That's what a lot of businesses do, or a lot of agencies. If you do persona work before you build a website, let's go in the room, let's get a whiteboard session.
Let's get the avatar.
Let's build the avatar for a client. You draw a few ideas from your head and boom, you think you're done.
Yeah.
That's not enough. You know, we have a whole process and methodology to teach you how to go and find more. So even if it feels hard and feels like a mystery to you, it's a system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody can learn it and anybody can implement it.
Yeah, no, I just want to highlight that because I know how difficult it is. Tell us about number two and number three.
Sure. Number two is really about taking that story and then using it as a lens, or the story overview, which really is a collection of stories, a collection of little before to after vignettes, if you will, and using that as a lens to look at what you've already done. You probably already have social media profiles. You already have a website. You've written sales emails. You've done presentation decks. Let's look at those and let's use the story overview and the processes we've learned in building the story overview to diagnose, rearrange, mark up, and fix what we've already put out there. Because if you can do that, that alone is going to move the needle and make such a difference as you make connections with new prospects. And so that second stage of diagnosis, turning blah to aha. There it is.
You got to trademark that. That's a good one. Turning blah to aha. Dude.
Yeah, that's the second stage. Then the third stage is really, how do you consistently power up your stories? How do you create story-powered web content, blog posts? How do you create story-powered social media posts? How do you do the story-powered strategic consultation where you're using all of those elements that you've put together to easily and quickly and constantly build those very powerful stories that are doing the work that you need it to do? Attract and captivate prospects, inspire them to act, close sales.
You know, what I like about that third one is that consistency and being able to measure results becomes a way for you to improve over time, right? And I'm wondering if you have some feedback about how people can know if their stories are working or not.
Right.
Because, I mean, come on. I mean, gosh, I know from experience, you can spend years telling the wrong story to the market, trying to solve the wrong problem. I mean, just being off track. And if nobody tells you, you'll just keep struggling.
Yeah.
So how do people at some point take a look at what they've been doing in their storytelling and figure out the best version, the best process, and so on? How do they know it's working?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this goes to something that you really emphasize in what you're doing with Social Velocity and all your work on LinkedIn. In the end, it's results that matter. Are people scheduling that free consultation, and are those people converting? Are you getting results? So there are all sorts of methodologies by which we measure success, but in the end, it's the bottom line. So you know if it's working by revenue in, costs out in the end. That's all that matters in the end. And the thing about it is that if you are powering up your stories well, if you're changing a feeble sales email to one that's powerful, you mm-hmm. should begin to see results. You should begin to see that response. Yeah, I do want to schedule that consultation. You should begin to see people responding to your emails. When I began to roll this stuff out in my own work, in my emails, people began to click reply. I love this email that you wrote, or I love that LinkedIn post that you wrote. So there's the anecdotal evidence of success. But really, in the end, it goes to what you preach so often and so correctly. It's the bottom line. Put measurement in place and pay attention to whether you're converting.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. And the truth is, I know how much you focus on results as well. And that's why I wanted to kind of get your sort of viewpoint on that. You know, so many of us can create content and put it out there. But if we don't know what's happening to that content, how can we improve our storytelling, right? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'll say one thing to that. It, you know, my experience in running an email marketing company really instructed this and really instructed the getting to this point in my business. I saw so many businesses, clients of ours using the software, who really did what we call build, blast, and pray.
Yeah.
Build a list.
Spray and pray, right?
Spray together a list. Just blast content out there. Not strategic, not story powered, not any of it. And you build, you blast, and then you pray. And they're not measuring. They don't, you know. And so I know this is your philosophy. It's my philosophy. What's the strategy behind it? Why are you doing it? How are you measuring results? It's so critical. And that's what I think you and I both are all about, and why we've connected so well.
Absolutely, Tom. And I'm glad you brought up the email marketing, because I was going to go back there. One of the things I love to celebrate, and one of the things I love to have in my conversations, is people who can teach me, people who I look up to in the world of entrepreneurship. As you know, we're called, you know, profitable happiness. Yeah. And when I find someone like you who has taken your happiness, I mean, look at you, look at that smile. Someone like you who has taken happiness, all your forms, even your music, we'll talk about that, taken happiness and put it in the path of profit and can stand on your own two feet as an entrepreneur. Dude, I want to learn how you did it.
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit about your viewpoint about profitable happiness in the world?
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I feel like I should be asking you that question, but you know, I've spent 30 years as an entrepreneur, and I've put my finger in a lot of pies, and the journey and the place that I've reached today is all about coming to understand what I'm most passionate about, what I'm best at, and what I like doing, that convergence of
what makes me happy day after day after day, combined with what is serving those I work with. And that's a tail wagging the dog thing, really, because what makes me happy is when I serve people and they believe that it's a gift that I'm giving them, and I know it is a gift that I'm giving them, and they're happy, and that makes me happy. It's different, you know, when I was in the software business and I was watching people build, blast, and pray, and sometimes their prayers weren't answered because they were blasting garbage.
Yep.
That didn't make me happy. And now the convergence of a powerful and important gift in the form of the service I deliver, watching my clients be happy, knowing that I'm doing the thing that I was, I think, meant to do. I just want to pop out of bed every morning and get to work. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, no, that's so powerful and true. And I promised you I'd talk about music, because one of the areas we intersect in this world of many things that we do creatively is music. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about that. But I want to say something about music.
Yeah.
My experience with music is that it has been the ultimate place where people just send out messages they think are important without much concern for the recipients. It's like, this is what I feel, so I'm going to write a song about it. And the business of music, the business of making a customer take that and get value and pay you for it, is almost secondary.
Yeah.
And my goodness, that I had to get out of that and become an entrepreneur, because that kind of music is creative, but it's not necessarily business. What's your thought on that? And then tell us how you know, your music journey, because you have a fun story around music.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. And one of the reasons I have mad respect for you is the way that you've woven your music into the business. You're right. I think there are a lot of artists out there who, they put their art out there, and there's no sense of where does it connect from a business perspective. Look, it's a rotten business, the music business.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure I have an easy or good answer for how that artiste can really make a buck. My story is I love music. I was the guy in high school who always brought the mixtape to the party, or always used to sit next to the turntable and spin the records. I love sharing what I love with people, whether it's music or movies or television. I love to share. I started a few years ago a concert series here in St. Louis called Warehouse Concerts, where we converted a small black box event space that's built into the back of a warehouse in a industrial area of St. Louis into a concert space. And we bring artists in we're a few hours from Nashville. We bring people up from Nashville and all around the country, put about 120 people in the room. We turn it into a giant living room where we put sofas and easy chairs and so forth. If you've heard of house concerts, the idea of an artist coming into somebody's living room and performing, we call it Warehouse Concerts because it's in a warehouse, but it's like an overgrown house concert. And that's a hobby business for me, but it really is an extension of what we've been talking about, to share happiness, to share love. I believe that musical expression is an expression of love. When you're sharing those things that are meaningful to you and that move you, share it with the world, tell others. And some people will shrug and won't care, but others love it. And it's a big part of my life.
Even in this story that you've shared, frankly, I think you and I have done the same thing. We both love music, but we've taken music and found an entrepreneurial version of it or a fit for it. So in your warehouse music, or in my sort of use of music as an analogy for content marketing, we've done the same thing. I really appreciate that. Now, tell me what you're excited about. What's next? What's coming up? What can we look forward to from Tom Ruich? And how can people find you?
Yeah. What I'm most excited about is when I started Story Power Marketing, it was a pure consultancy. Call Tom, hire him to be a consultant. We'll work together. We'll run through those three stages of story discovery, diagnosis, and power up. And it's an engagement and, you know, so forth. What I've done over the last few months is build my online program that is a VIP membership program where we're working with people who subscribe, and we just launched the program earlier this month. In fact, we've gone through the first set of trainings. So what I've done is taken what I described that I was delivering in that one-to-one format and built it into something that can scale and be delivered by me to many, many, many more people. And that, to me, is exciting because I love my free time. I love to be able to spend time right here in the country. About 50 yards from me is this beautiful river that I'm looking out over. I wish I could turn the camera around.
Yeah.
Hillsides, it's beautiful. I want to have the freedom that that I deserve to spend time in the business when I want.
We call that a location-free entrepreneur, by the way.
Location, yeah, exactly. But I also don't want to have that business where I feel like, oh, if I have a fifth consulting client, I have clients who I'm working with them, and they tell me, yeah, I have a meeting with a prospect today, and I can tell something's wrong. And I say, well, what's wrong? It's like, well, if I land this client, I'm going to be busy. It's like, well, yeah. But that's a real thing, you know, that when you have that consulting business, it can only scale so far. You're trading time for dollars. And so I built this business now where I can serve 50, 100 people and deliver real value to them. I'm super, super excited about it. And so far, so good. The people who have signed on and have joined the program are very happy with how it's going. The response has been great. I'm finding that I'm able to deliver more through this program than I was as a one-to-one consultant. So that's making me super, super happy. How do people reach me? Well, you start by going to my website, storypowermarketing.com, storypowermarketing.com. And there you can sign up for my email list. Every three times a week, I send out an email. A couple of those emails each week are really just parables, stories, fables. I tell a story, sometimes funny, sometimes sad, whatever it might be, that carries a marketing lesson. On Mondays, I send out something called Monday Mashup. Recommendations, music recommendations, viewing recommendations, reading recommendations, things that have moved me that I hope will move you. So join the email list. And then I'm offering on a consistent basis free trainings. And the latest one that I'm offering is how to harness the magnetic power of storytelling to captivate prospects and inspire them to act. And you can sign up for that training at storypowermarketing.com/training. And find me on LinkedIn. Just look me up. I want to connect with people on LinkedIn. That's something I'm learning from you, Dr. Pillay, and I'm inspired by you, how to build real relationships with people on LinkedIn. And if you want a real relationship, find me on LinkedIn and I'll connect with you.
That's awesome. And I appreciate you sharing all that. We'll have all of those links in the show notes for this episode. You know, Tom, I just like to say that as a brother in the world of story, I always learn from you when we talk, and I just really appreciate you being a guest on the Profitable Happiness podcast. Thank you.
Well, you are inspiring me every day. I look forward to logging into LinkedIn in great part because just about every time I do, I find something that you've put up there that moves me, that inspires me, that teaches me. So it's a mutual thing, my brother. And
we're brothers from another mother.
Yeah. That is true. And I'm grateful to you for the things that you've brought into my life. I'm grateful to you for inviting me to spend some time here with you and your audience. And let's just keep that conversation going.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Happiness Podcast. For more episodes, visit drpalais.com. And remember, get happy first and success will follow.